Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello there and welcome back to Four Times in a Podcast. You join us on the 3rd of March. It is about half an hour since Celtic were defeated 2-0 at Tynecastle. It was a weekend of ups and downs in the title race, which saw both Rangers and Celtic lose. So it's sort of as you were in terms of Celtic being 2 points behind top of the table. So we're just going to go over this more VAR controversy as we're quite used to when we've been at Tynecastle the last few visits, but delighted to say Danny and Tony are with me. Danny, I'll come to you. As I said, a lot of VAR controversy in this game again, mainly in the first 15 minutes when Celtic were awarded a penalty. That wasn't much contention in it itself, but Adam Eda missed the penalty and about a minute later, Yang was... Don Robertson gave a foul against him for a high boot, which caught one of the Hearts players. And then John Beaton on VAR suggested an on-field review, and it was the yellow card was wiped and upgraded to a red card for a high boot. Later on in the game, of course, Hearts got a penalty, and this was yet again another contentious decision that John Beaton, of all people, decided to intervene on Don Robertson's behalf. Ball did strike Iwata's hand, his arm, I think it was round about his elbow, but I think with the way his body was, he had no idea where the ball was, and I think there was also a deflection in the ball coming to him as well, which I believe sort of negates where his arm is. So, aye, Danny, I'll come to you. A disappointing day in the capital for the Celts, but what was your thoughts on it?
Despite what I'm about to say about VAR and that, I think if Adam Eda scores the penalty, we'd be comfortable touch. It's a completely different conversation we're having. I thought it's a bad day at the office. I think the game itself is not over at 10 men, but it's up in the air when the ref sends, or VAR tells the ref to send Yang off. I think a booking was fair. There's no malice. His foot is very high, right, and Cochrane's not really ducked in, so that'll go against him, but it's not a red. Cochrane didn't even make a melee. He got up kind of fairly after him and Yang. I think they shook hands and then the ref sent him off. And then you're up against it, aren't you? You're up against it for then. You need to regroup. You need to go again. We weren't playing that bad in the first half. I mean, we think we had something like 6 or 7 corners. We opened Hearts up a bit. We did have the ball in the net when O'Reilly scored, although Eda was well offside. And we missed a few chances. And Maeda, I mean, you put a great cross into the box and it's the smallest guy that we've got that's on the end of it, which was a bit frustrating. You'd rather Eda or, you know, Carter Vickers or something was on the end of it. The Hearts keeper had a few saves, so the first half. But I just thought we started it like it was going to be one of the games at Tynecastle, but it was going to be in 10. I thought Taylor started really poorly. I don't think he had a great day as well. But just the penalty that we gave away, like the penalty we got, I think it's one of the ones, it's 50-50. Like if the ref doesn't give it, VAR only going to intervene and give it, but because he has gave it, they've looked at it and went, well, he does clip. You know, Yang gets his cell in front, Cochrane clips him. Cochrane should have got booked for it, but he never. That was a theme of the day. Cochrane should have gotten booked, but never. And then the penalty that we concede is just beyond a joke. It's just ridiculous. It's John Beaton fishing for something to get a decision against us. And how that's deliberate handball is just... It's not even impeded any Hearts player, but it's not as if it's falling to a Hearts player. The ball bounces to, like, nobody. It's probably... probably helped Hearts. It gave the ball back to Hearts, probably. It was just ridiculous. And it's just fucking ridiculous decision. And it was one that, you know, Beaton's fishing it to give. And there was a foul on Maeda about 10, 15 seconds before in the corner, which you're meant to go back and look at these things. It never. And then Hearts obviously score. They scored again in the first half. I thought Shanklin was on. I think he probably was just off. I think that's another contentious one. But we got away with that. You get off the hook. We didn't really respond in the second half to the way that I thought we might have, even with the change. And then the second goal, Newenhouse offside when the ball comes up to him and he goes and challenges Scales, therefore indirect. We kept getting told that Seema was interfering with play in December, but apparently Newenhouse jumping into Scales, isn't he? And then we don't really, there's four players watching the boys. Shanklin sweeps it into the net, so that wasn't good enough either. And then you're right up against it now, aren't you, with 10 men, 40 minutes left, you're 2-0 down. And we had a few chances. Ida missed one, Kyogo missed one, and we were pretty wasteful with some opportunities as well. So I don't want to go too hard on the players. It was a massive chance for us to go top of the league. I don't want to go too hard on the team because I do think it was up in the air when the ref decided to send off Yang. And we were up against it for there. And Ida, he missed the penalty, but I thought he was my best player. I thought the way he held the ball up, when Kyogo came on, he brought Kyogo into the game every opportunity that he had. He was going back and battling and winning it. And he was fucking blatantly fouled and all out in the wing at the start of the second half. And the ref never gave a foul, gave a goal kick. So it's just... it's frustrating because we had a right good chance and we all thought last night that we could turn up and send a message and go to the league and we're all licking our wounds today. But if anything this weekend's taught us is that it's a fucking long, long way to go with us, and there's got to be more weekends less, I think, towards the end of the season, because I don't think we're great. I don't think they're great. But, even though if you'd have said to us on Friday, you know, you come Sunday at 1:30 and you'll still be only two behind, I think we all would have took that, considering they're at home in Motherwell and we're away to Hearts. But let's not get away from the fact that when what happened the day before, it's a real missed opportunity, and we can't really afford to give too many of them up before it does ultimately cost us.
I definitely, as you say, it's a real big missed opportunity, but I think the sort of mitigating circumstances today and the sort of officiating are not even led to Brendan Rodgers name-checking John Beaton in his post-match interview and having a go at officials, and that's not something you ever really hear of from Rodgers, especially when he's Celtic manager. Like, he never really goes after them, but I think the standard today was really poor. Tony, I'll bring you in. What's your thoughts? Brendan's been speaking a lot about writing their own story. Obviously, this was the opportunity for us to go back top of the league. It's not happened for a variety of reasons. How do you see it? Is how much of a big missed opportunity is it?
I'm just delighted Mark Lobel's resigned. I'm so conflicted. I'm not exactly like really angry or shocked. It's not a surprise for me that we've lost, and like everybody's saying, we've let the Huns off the hook. The men, I think their result yesterday's let us off the hook, because if the gap went to 5 points, then fucking be World War III, wouldn't it? So I just feel you need to win that game, though. I do feel, and I know they're a long way to go in the title race, but if you need to be punishing them. They've lost a game that I think we all expected them to win quite handsomely to Motherwell. You've got a chance to go top, really jag it into them before they need to go to Portugal and then go to Easter Road. And you kind of give them a boost by what happened today. I know, I think Brendan's right to come out and credit the players and just kind of put it on the officials. I can't imagine they'll be saying that behind closed doors. There was some pretty poor performances in the other day. I thought, as Danny says, Taylor looked really slow at some points as well. Gales, I think we've spoke about in kind of depth, the fact that he's obviously not the answer. I thought Kyogo was excellent, to be fair, when he came on. I thought he tied his heart out, and him and Ida actually linked up quite well. He had a few chances. It just wasn't your day, and people listening are probably surprised that I'm not kind of getting off my head. But I think, in hindsight, we might look back this weekend and go, fuck, that was a big one when they dropped to Motherwell, because if you'd have said on Friday, they come Sunday night, there would only be 2 points in it, you would take that, you'd have been happy. But no, as disappointing. But I think if Big Ida scores a penalty, he trouts him, you probably win 3 or 4-0. And then losing Yang, he's probably one of our most creative players the last few games. And then we don't really have the quality in the bench to come on and win it like when he did. We brought Odson Edward on back in 2018 when we beat the Rangers and things like that. And obviously, Kyogo comes on, but he's not managed to actually change the game, unfortunately. No, it's just the red card, I can understand why it's given. His foot's high. It's just such a nothing event, though. The guy's not really rolled about for long. I don't think anybody's expecting the red. Then, as you say, I think beating's obviously sent him to the monitor. Usually when you're sent to the monitor, that's it. You've had it kind of thing. Penalty, I guess his arm's out, but I don't really know the handball rule. It seems to change. And again, the ball's not gone anywhere. It's not really stopped a goal or anything like that. It's a really unfortunate handball, but it's a good penalty. I've seen Joe Hart calling Shankland a shitebag for not taking it, and then Shankland scores into him. Thought he made him look like a bit of a tit, to be totally honest. There was a few times in the second half, Joe Hart just couldn't wait to throw the ball to absolutely nobody. Maeda was really, really poor as well, but I think with Maeda, either looks like a world-class player or he looks like somebody that's just come out the stands and been told to run about and try his best. Bernardo was totally anonymous, so I don't really remember him touching the ball much. So I was glad to see him come off at half time. But I think we've got a break now. There's a 2-week break before the next league game. We'll be at home to St Johnston. They're away to Ross County, maybe. So I don't know if that's maybe an opportunity for us to go top before they play. I don't know if that's the case. Hopefully it is, and hopefully we beat St Johnston when the time comes. But you know, I do want to touch on Mark Lowell. I know I said that at the start, but I think it was a great start to the weekend when I heard he was resigning. And then I read their statement that he's in guarded leave. And then the statement was fucking hilarious, to be honest. It was, they pinned it on Ange Postecoglou. This is that Ange picked him. And I was just kind of wondering how that conversation went as Ange sits there with his 25 years experience of football in Asia, Australia, international management. And he goes to the board and says, this is a guy I've picked, his name's Mark Lowell. And they go, oh, I can't believe that, that's your Peter's boy. What a coincidence, I mean, what a lot of shite. And the fact that these two are in gardening leave, they're terrified to sack inept people when they're failing at their jobs. Like, for example, Neil Lennon, we were terrified to sack him. Now you've got this Mark Lowell and whoever the other guy is, who's in gardening leave, we're terrified to sack them. I've never sacked Lowell, so the banker never was sacked. They all just stepped in. But we're so quick to ban fans. It's just fucking ridiculous. I thought the statement was a bit of a joke. The more I kind of read it, and the fact these two are in gardening leave, they should be sacked. And the statement should be, these two have been fucking useless, therefore have been removed from the position. Maybe a bit more diplomatic than that, but I guess you get the point. So I just found that a bit agitating. But I'm glad to see that Mark's away. But he can't be the fall guy for them. They all need to go, irrespective of how this season's end. I know we're going to miss their title fight, but I don't want to let up that this board need removed by hook or by crook, regardless how the season ends. But in terms of the game, I don't really have anything else to add. I do think it's pretty pitiful for Brendan Rodgers to be beat twice in one season by Stephen Naismith, and also be basically done three times by Derek McInnes. I think that's just all the Brendan Rodgers that we had the first time. So I think he's going to need to pick up his ideas, because we'll probably have another few hard games on the way, hopefully winning the title if we can do it. Aye, but I guess it's not as damaging because they lost yesterday, but had they won, I think everybody would be on here calling for the manager's head, the board's head, fucking everything else in between. So cup game next week against Livy is a good opportunity to hopefully put on a performance and just get this result out of the system.
Aye, definitely. And just on the Mark Lowell thing, I know we'll maybe cover it in more depth in future episodes, but I found it funny that possibly the only signing in January that's looking like it's going to be a decent one is Adam Eder. And then I seen some quotes on Twitter this morning from Brendan Rodgers saying that it was him that made the deal. It was Brendan that got the deal of the line. I'll read the quote. It says, this is what Brendan Rodgers says. He said, Adam was a player that came to us late. His agent rang me up and said there was a possibility. The agent knew I liked him as a young player. When he was available, it excited me. And that's great, because obviously Adam Eder, as we've all says, we've all, everybody's sort of eating humble pie. It looks like he is doing a great job even so far, but I think that just sums up Mark Lowell and whoever that chief scout that resigned as well, sort of sums up their tenure, the fact that probably the only player that's having a real impact that from their signings wasn't actually their signing. But aye, we'll come on to that at a later date, I'm sure. Danny, I'll come to you. Since we've been on, obviously during the week, Cal McGregor went off at half time, and I think everybody sort of assumed it was because we were 6-0 up, and it was a good chance to let him have a half off. But since then, it's Redden says that Cal McGregor's got a problem with his Achilles and possibly his thigh. Now, a lot of people are, obviously nothing's confirmed at this point, but a lot of people are worried that that might be a sort of longer term muscle injury that might take a few weeks, if not a month, to recover from. How much an impact do you think that could have on us going into this crucial last 10 games of the league season?
Aye, of course it's massive because he's a captain, he sets the tone, he's a leader in there. But actually, no, just as you brought that up there, we've not mentioned the fact that we missed him massively today. Especially if we're down to 10 men, I would have been a wee nothing against Bernardo. Bernardo didn't impose himself in the game like he had been doing. He had a great cross into the box at the end of the first half, but he didn't do enough. But I would have felt a wee bit better if it was McGregor, Iwata and O'Reilly in there at 10 men. Because I think McGregor would have helped us keep the ball. I thought we really struggled. We struggled to keep the ball at times when we were playing 10 men, and certainly towards the end of the first half. But McGregor will be a big miss if he's out for any sort of time. I mean, next week. So it's a great opportunity to win the day because next week's a cup, and you can, if we could have went into that type of league and you don't need to worry about the title race for a week, you can just concentrate in the cup, it would have been great. But now we need to wait 2 weeks to get back at it in terms of the league. I know we're at home, I think they're away to Dundee on St Patrick's Day in 2 weeks' time, so hopefully we're top of the league. I mean, there was a great chance for us to be 4 points clear, but hopefully we can be at least top and put a bit of pressure on them away to Dundee. But McGregor, hopefully he's back. We need McGregor, and it's kind of symptomatic of the season. I mean, I wouldn't argue with anybody that says the season's not been good enough, the team have not been good enough, but we have seemed to pick up really bad injuries at bad times. I mean, Carter Vickers has hardly been fit all year, Hitati's hardly been fit all year, and we get Carter Vickers back, he scores, we win 7-1, everything looks rosy, and then the captain gets injured. So we seem to be doomed that way, but it is kind of next man up. Now, I just thought the midfield was really lacking, and even, I mean, I don't really like condemning Celtic players, you know, as their futures, but there Rodgers has brought Kelly off the bench instead of Holm, and Holm just made the bench because McGregor was injured. So I don't know what that says about that boy's future. He seems to look good and then play games where he doesn't do anything, and then doesn't seem to be seen again for a while. So it's just, we might have plenty centre midfielders or players that can play centre midfield, but when McGregor's missing, it's a huge miss. And obviously, it counted today, but hopefully he's back for too long. But we don't really know too much. He just said he didn't issue his Achilles, and he was at the game of the day, sat and watched it. So hopefully it's not too bad and back before we know it. But we could be dealing with him, and we could be dealing with no picking up really bad injuries. And hopefully we can get him and Hitati back soon. Hitati coming back could be a spark for us. But again, he's running out of games, because he'll need a few games to get back to speed. So maybe he just, I don't know, trying to be positive. But last night, he thought the day we'd be going playing to go top of the league, and then to get beat and have to kind of go over again, and it's a bit frustrating. But just on what Tony said about the board, he's 100% right. Don't think, whereas Mark Lowell had to go, absolutely had to go, he can't be the only one, because rightly or wrongly, he was at Man City in the City football group, and he seemed to be doing really well there, and he's tried to come up and replicate that on a much smaller scale here, and it's no work, and he had to go. But he's certainly fucking not the only one that has to go, and there's this club is screaming out for new ideas, and hopefully, I mean, we're winning in spite of this at times, you know what I mean? Like, talk about the recent success and stuff, you could say they've put the foundations in for it, but in the last 3 or 4 years, we've been winning in spite of them. I mean, Ange Postecoglou was a success at Celtic in spite of the board. So the club's screaming out for new ideas, and hopefully we get them before sooner or later. But Tony's right, they shouldn't be just be Matt Law when the other boy goes. There should be an open door, a folk dreaming out the door and never to be returning.
Aye, definitely. As you say, it should be the first of many, and it's just trying to get turkeys to vote for Christmas and take their massive salaries that they don't deserve away from themselves. But who knows, maybe if fan pressure does keep up, then it might lead to some change, but we can only but hope. And I think you're right about Odin Holm as well. I think Rodgers mentioned he had an injury a few weeks ago, but if he's fitting off of the bench and still no getting the nod ahead, and you're right that, like, it's great to see a young guy like Daniel Kelly come on, but you'd be expecting Murphy or summer signings to have an impact. And even look at the bench, you've got guys like Lagerbielka and Kuhn and Palmer who kind of got off the bench as well today. So that was probably in terms of transfer fees and wages between 15 and 20 million pounds sitting on the bench that isn't really deemed, the manager doesn't think they can come on and make an impact in a game like this. But again, that probably says more about what's been going on at the club. But aye, Tony, I'll come at you. We'll just sort of start to wrap up here. We're not going to go in depth about the Livingston game. I don't think anybody really needs an in depth look at what Livingston will try and do in the cup next Sunday. How do you think Celtic will respond, and what's your prediction? Is it just a case of you need to try and start building momentum again and go for a similar performance to the one we had against Dundee the other night when you come up against Livingston?
To be fair, I've been quite negative most of the season and a lot of kind of negative predictions, but I think we'll bounce back. I think they'll just kind of, the cup's a separate issue. They really should have enough to beat Livingston, especially Celtic Park, I think. But nothing's changed in terms of the title race, except for goal differences, and one worse than what it was, which is pretty pish. But I think we'll win 4-0, get into the semi-finals of the cup. Hopefully, I'm beat Rangers, so we don't need to worry about a treble. But I think we'll win. If we don't, then we're in fucking massive trouble. But we just need to get the day out of thought. Big opportunity missed. But I remember we done it under Big Ange as well, and it was really similar, except when he first had a chance to go top of the league. I think Giakoumakis missed a penalty in the last minute. We drew 0-0 for none of the Livingston at Parkeet. So you just need to bounce back. I think the plan was always to win our games up to Ibrox. That's obviously no harm, but we've kind of got lucky that they somehow lost to Motherwell at Ibrox. So I think the plan remains. We can't drop any more points, and then we need to go to Ibrox and get at least a draw. So I'm sure the message will be very much one game at a time. So I think we'll win 4-0. I think Kyogo will get two and Adam
Hi, much as there. I think we just need to try and get back to winning ways. Hopefully we do have Cal McGregor back in training. Who knows how far Hattati is away as well. It would be a sort of a nice game to throw him in if he was anywhere near available, but I don't even think he's back on the training pitch yet, so probably won't be next week. But I think it'll be 3-0 Celtic. I think Livingston will just come and try and stink out the gaff and try and take it to extra time. But I can't really see them being able to hold us out, and hopefully we do get a similar scoreline to Dundee, but I think probably be 3-0 and we'll just progress to the next round and we'll see what that brings. But aye, Danny, what's your thoughts on that cup game? Would you be looking to make any changes, or how do you think the team will respond?
I would play Kyogo and Ida up front together and let them link up like they did today. Because Livingston have chucked it, they'll be more interested in staying up. I don't think they'll have much an interest next week. So we should play 4-2-4 and just go for it. Because as I say, I don't think Livingston will be up for it that much there. They get beat, or they drew yesterday, dropped more points, and they look like they're doomed. So they'll probably be more concentrating in the league. So it's time we really should just put a show on and put two people up front. I know two up front doesn't equal more goals, but I liked what I've seen for Kyogo and Ida at times today. I think there's potential there. I'm screaming out for Kyogo to get a couple of goals because he's desperate. He's lashing out at things and he's always looking to have a shot. And I think he's desperate to score, so hopefully we can get him on the score sheet a few times next week. I'll agree with Tony. I think it'll be 4-0. I think it'll be Ida and Kyogo get both of them. Both two goals each. And we'll be into semi-finals, and then we can start looking back at the title race again. But my positivity for next week is purely because I think Livingston will be very interested in the league.
Well, there you go. A couple of positive predictions. Everybody expecting Celtic to turn up and do what they need today next week against Livingston, which, as Danny said, would take us into the semi-final. We'll be back after that episode to look back on what happened, and if we do progress, we'll look at who we get in the semi. But aye, if you've made it in this far to this episode, then fair play, because I know these episodes are hard for us to record, so they must be hard to listen to. But just remember, as much as it was a bad day at the office, there's still a lot to play for, and we went into the weekend 2 points behind, and we're only 2 points behind. So as Brendan Rodgers would tell you, we can still write our own story and how this season's going to end, and hopefully we do in a positive manner. But aye, if you've made it this far, thanks for listening. Make sure you're following us. Just search for Four Times a Podcast on social media or wherever you get your podcast, just so you don't miss any content from us. Aye, cheers, and we will speak to you at some point next week. Hail, hail.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.